Shabbos, we not only conclude Sefer Shemos, we also conclude the final of the Dalet Parshios. That's why if your Bal Kore cancels on you last minute this week, it is bad news. It is a long, long Parsha. So we do lay in the last of the Dalet Parshios, which of course is Parshas HaChodesh, which is a perfect time to reflect upon what the message might be of the Dalet Parshios. Now, of course, we know each one has a reason for it to be read at the specific time of year that it's read, and Rav Moshe Feinstein happens to have a beautiful explanation of how they relate to each other. We're going to suggest maybe a different explanation today about how the Dalet Parshios might actually relate to each other, meaning it can't be a coincidence, as Rav Moshe points out, in the Drash Moshe, in the Hebrew edition of the Drash Moshe, it can't be a coincidence that the whole rest of the year, we lay in Haftarahs that relate to the Parsha. And then these 4 weeks, or 4 out of 5 weeks, where that happened clustered together, all of a sudden relating special Haftarahs and all of these special Maftirs and special Haftarahs and all these times. So it must be that there's some connection between them. So what exactly is the connection between the Dalet Parshios? So when one thinks about anything that involves the number 4, we think about the significance of the number 4 as we head into Chodesh Nisan, which is also the Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh Nisan. So we always think about number 4 when it comes to Chodesh Nisan, because we have 4 Kosos, and there are the Dalet Banim, and the 4 questions, and the 4 comes up a lot at the Seder, and the reason it comes up a lot at the Seder is because the Gemara tells us that we have 4 Kosos Keneged, the Dalet Lashonos of Geula, that there are 4 Lashonos of Geula. But what exactly do those Lashonos of Geula signify? Why exactly is it true that we need 4 redemptions? Isn't a single redemption good enough? Is there anything unique about each cup that we drink at the Seder that relates specifically to each expression of Geula? Or is it just a numbers game? Oh, 4 and 4, it matches. Okay, so we'll go with it. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he should be identified, he says, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu says, who should I tell them sent me? So Hashem says, Eke Asher Eke. Tell them that Eke Asher Eke. I will be what I will be. And the Gemara Brachos Taftes understands that to mean, Ani Hayisi Imachem B'Shibud Zeh, Ve'ehiya Imachem B'Shibud Malchios. I was with the Jewish people in this Shibud that they suffered here in Mitzrayim, and I will be with them in future problems and issues and shibudim that they go through. Moshe Rabbeinu's response to that is Dayelet Sara B'Shaita. Now, at this point, as they're finally finishing centuries of slavery, you want to tell them, oh, you think this was bad? Don't worry, God will be with you in the concentration camps also. God's going to be with you at the Inquisition too. You're going to tell them about these things now? They're going to feel so dejected. Let them deal with the tzara that they're dealing with right now. So, because Moshe doesn't want direct mention of future tzaros, so God instead alludes to them with 4 lashonos of geula. The geula is not a one-time event. It's a process with ups and downs, and a very, very long process at that. Pirkei Rav Elazar comments on Moshe Rabbeinu's plea, Shalach na biyad tishlach. Oh, an amazing thing. Hashem says, Moshe, you know the people, you know they're suffering, you know how heartbreaking it is, how babies are getting killed, how families are being ripped apart, how you know how terrible it is, the kind of affliction that they're suffering. Go and save them. You're my shliach, you can save them. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Well, you know, I have an older brother, and maybe you should send him, and you know that. It's not Derech Eretz. My gosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you to save the people. You're going to stand on ceremony and argue about it for a week? How many more babies died in the week that you were arguing about it? How could Moshe Rabbeinu start having this conversation? So says the Pirkei Rav Elazar, Shlach na biyad tishlach does not mean that you should send Aaron. It's not what it means, says the Pirkei Rav Elazar. It means that you should send Mashiach. Skip straight to the end. Go to the last chapter already, says Moshe Rabbeinu. What are you going to do? You're going to do like a partial geula, and then we'll be back and forth and up and down. No, just send Mashiach already. Why have a geula when we're only going to have more galuyos afterwards? I don't like this idea of I'll be with you in future shibudim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't see it that way. The geula in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind and in the reality of history is going to have to involve a long, long history of two steps forward, one step back, and a lot of ups and downs, a lot of troubles. And specifically, the Nitziv points out on some level and many others that there are four challenges to a complete geula. First of all, when we were in Mitzrayim, we were in need of geula from just the very basic slavery, the fact that we were working for someone else. And that's why God took us out with the first lashon of geula, Votzesi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take us out from the actual work that we have to do in Mitzrayim. But even after leaving Mitzrayim, the influence of Mitzrayim, we may have left Mitzrayim, but Mitzrayim hadn't left us. A very short while after Eser Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf, we're still vulnerable to what we read about last week, the Avera of Avodah Zarah, and we proved it with the Cheda Egel. And this particular Yetzer Hara remained with us through the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, until ultimately the Gemara in Yuma reports the Chachamim shechted the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, but that took a long, long time. And therefore the second language of Geula, V'hitzalti Eschem me'avodah son, Shel Mitzrayim, that Hashem is going to save us from the avoda, but avoda may be meaning not the actual work, but their desire to do avodah zarah, and that will take some time. And once the challenge of avodah zarah is out of the way, we still feel a deep chisaron in the covenant of the Jewish people. You know, subjugated under foreign rule, persecuted over and over again, Yavan, the Romans, etc., v'chule. And we can't help but ask, you know, where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout all this? Why isn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us? And the Gemara in Chagiga tells us of a debate. The Gemara in Chagiga Daf Hei Amud Beis tells us of a debate that took place between Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and an Apikoros. And the Gemara tells us that it was in front of the Kesar. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever been involved in a debate, but normally it's very important to be able to speak if you're debating somebody. If you don't speak well, so you're not going to win a debate. But the Kesar decided he was going to make it a little more challenging. He was going to throw a little curveball at them. He said, okay, you debate in front of me, no one's allowed to say a word. The entire debate has to be mimed. You have to do the whole thing in pantomime. So they start having this debate, and the Apikoros goes like this. He turns his back to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. And Rabbi Shua ben Chananya responds by stretching out his arm, by stretching out his hand. So the Kesar says, okay, that was interesting. What happened? What did you mean by turning your back? What did you mean by stretching out your hand? So the explanation was, even though the fellow debating Rabbi Shua ben Chananya didn't understand what Rabbi Shua ben Chananya was saying, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya understood him, that when he was turning his back, he was signifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned his back on the Jewish people. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu once cared about you. He no longer cares about you. He has turned his back on the Jewish people. And then, when Rabbi Shua ben Chananya stretches out his hand, he was signifying, Od Yado Netuya Aleinu, that his hand is still outstretched over the Jewish people, specifically even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems like he's not watching, he is. Even when Hashem looks like he's turned his back on us, he hasn't. Od Yado Netuya Aleinu. And that's the third expression of Geula. V'ga'alti eschem bizroa netuya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is goel us, is paying careful attention to us with bizroa netuya. Even when we don't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand guiding us, it's always there. And then finally, in a galus that instead of being limited to a particular place, spans the globe with bits of pieces of Klal Yisrael everywhere, all over the place, and so many so many different variances in minhagim and how we worship, how we do things in Klal Yisrael, seems to indicate that it's almost like we're observing different religions at times. The great challenge and our final challenge is going to be to come together as a single nation, to have a kibbutz galios first in our hearts and then in a physical way, that the final expression of geula is v'lakachti eschem li la'am. An am, lashon im, together, we're all together, we're a single nation. We have to become a single nation. And then veivesi eschem el ha'aretz. So maybe that view of the four expressions of geula and what each one stands for can explain why each lashon relates to their specific section of the Haggadah and how the Dalet Parshios segue beautifully into Chodesh Nisan, into what we call the Chodesh HaGeula. The first redemption from Mitzrayim reflects again our subjugation to the other nations. which very often, the fact that we feel like slaves, even when we have freedom of religion and all the freedoms that we have, is because of financial needs and constraints that we have. And if we didn't make a living, we would be so beholden. If we wouldn't need to make a living, would we be so beholden to American culture? Would we be so ripe for assimilation? Much of it is because we feel like we can't make it otherwise. So we read Parsha Shkalim, which relates to the redemption of our money to a higher purpose. And the first cup at the Seder is Kol Shel Kiddush, where we speak about Zman Cheruseinu, we speak about freedom of the bondage that we suffered. And then the second redemption is the redemption from Avodah Zarah. So evident in the Cheta Egel. And Chazal say that what was the kapara for the Cheta Egel? Para Aduma, Tavo Ima, Utakaneach Alpana. Let the mother come, the cow, and clean up after the Egel. So it's a tikkun for the Cheta Egel. The second cup at the Seder that relates to the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim begins with, according to one opinion in the 10th parak of Pesachim, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu. That's the second cup. The second cup is about Maschil Begnus and Messiah Meshevach, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah. That's the Cheta Egel, that's Parshas Para. They align with each other, even though it doesn't go in order of the Dalai Parshios, but that aligns very beautifully. Then the third redemption is in the knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not abandoned us. That nothing in life just happens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still watching over us. Behashkacha Pratis. Every detail, everything is arranged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Events that seem like coincidence are not coincidence. The idea that a Malik represents is an idea of Mikra. The belief that nobody's running the show, and therefore if they're more powerful, they'd be able to defeat us. Everything just happens in the world. So we read Parsha Zachar to prepare us for that geula, the notion that nothing is mikra. And the third cup is set over Birchas HaMazon, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's protection over us is never more evident than in our ability to sustain ourselves throughout the galus. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the sustainability that Mandi Yav Chayi Yav Mizone, Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us life, gives us the food with which to sustain life. And then the final element of Geula is in the idea that we need to form a single nation, that we're not a splintered group, we're a single nation. So the fourth parsha that we read this Shabbos, it's not the first mitzvah in the Torah. You know, people say, what's special about Chodesh Zavachem? First mitzvah is Peruvu. Right? We know the Torah does start with Bereshis. The first Rashi notwithstanding, it does start with Bereshis. Why should it have started with HaKadosh Zelachem? Because it's the first mitzvah we were given as a nation, as a single unit. And that's why the fourth cup relates to the ultimate Pula, when we'll be together in Eretz Yisrael in a single place. Shvocha Mascha Alagayim. And we're going to be able to experience the final geula. And there's something unique about the last geula. You know, the other geulas, whether we are slaves to other people, not all of them, but whether we're slaves to other people, whether we have the ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on some level, we need Hashem's help. On some level, needs to be initiated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Achieving unity is completely up to us. There can be no nation without our commitment to create a nation. That's something that's not, we're not waiting for Hashem to do. That's something that we're waiting for us to do. I had the opportunity once to hear of Matzio Solomon speak, and he pointed out that it seems so incongruous. You know, you talk about, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? So the Gemara says, why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Well, the first Beis HaMikdash we know, Avodah Zarah, Kilei Arayos, Shvichus Damim. We hit the trifecta of the three worst avodos known to man. Okay, that makes sense. We're going to lose the Beis HaMikdash. And the second Beis HaMikdash, Sinas Chinam. Okay, not great, you know, but like it's not Avodah Zarah, Kilei Arayos, and Shvichus Damim. You know, it's like, okay, so it's like it's don't love everyone all the time, okay. Why is, how does that even match up? How could it be? And look how much greater the second Churban was. Look how much longer it's lasting than the first Churban lasted. So Rav Matzio explained that there are two ways that the Shechina can leave us. The first is when we fall to such a state of depravity that the Shechina just can't remain with us. That's what happened with Bais Rishon. Come on. The Shechina can't stay. That's we're horrible people. The second way, though, that the Shekhinah can leave us is not because we've become so depraved, but in order to have Ashras HaShekhinah, the Shekhinah needs a landing pad. It needs somewhere to rest. And without any nation to rest on, there is no Hashras HaShekhinah. Right? We believe this, that when you have a minion of 10 people, all of a sudden, a heightened sense of Hashras HaShekhinah. Why? Why a heightened sense of Hashras HaShekhinah? Why can't I have a heightened sense of Hashras HaShekhinah? There's a certain sense of Hashras HaShekhinah that can only be created when we're together. So the sense of Hashras HaShekhinah necessary in order to have a mikdash requires an am. It requires people being together when their sinas chinam, the very fabric of the nation, is torn apart. The Medrash compares the Jewish people to like logs floating in the water. That if you tie them together really well, it becomes a raft that's very useful. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of disparate logs that end up in a million different places and are not really beautiful at all, are not really useful at all. So when we stand at the doorstep of Geula, when we are approaching the Chodesh HaGeula, and we're finishing up the Dalet Parshios, we should realize that we've defeated Baruch Hashem Mitzrayim. We're no longer under the avdus of Mitzrayim. We even in this country are zocha to live in a free country. We're not working for anybody in slavery. We've defeated the Avodah Zarah, the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. Chazal helped us. We've gotten through that. Even the sense of mikra, the sense that everything happens, you know, we've come a long way into appreciating the role of the Ribbono Shel Olam and people educating our fellow Jews as to the role of the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives and how things don't just happen. Our Kodesh Baruch Hu is looking out for us throughout history. Although that's certainly still something that we need to work on as we go into this Chodesh, which emphasizes Emunah a great deal as well. But the most important thing that we're going to need is what Parshas HaChodesh represents, that in order for all of it to work, in order for all of it to come together, we need to come together. And that's a major component of what we should be working on throughout the year, but particularly as we approach Geula.